Vishnu Padaya, everyone. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Shimate Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Nitinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pacharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavari, Bhaskacharya Sadarine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Hare. Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Gokula Nanda Sri Radhe Jaya Prabhupada 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 Srila Prabhupada Gaur Premanandi Hari 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 Bo Hare Krishna. Hari Bol, when I received this invitation to speak to you as the team members of the Bhakti School, I was very grateful for having been given this opportunity. I was also thinking beforehand about what I would contribute, but because when you are traveling, you are having so many different impressions and jobs, I momentarily forgot, and then Gokrishna shared with me the poster. It is about service, the secrets of service, which you have, which we have picked for today. I would like to make an opening statement. I will speak today to you in a way that will hopefully intrigue you to think about your personal growth, because I'm very convinced by whatever experience I have with various initiatives in our movement that when devotees are personally motivated for their spiritual growth, they can do many amazing things in the world outside. In other words, I have always believed in my life in what is called an inside-out approach. No? First start here in us, and from there grow. And I would like to bring to you my conviction in the form of a little story. It sounds like a novel, a pleasant novel, until you discover that you are the main person in my story. So once there was a little boy, you can also, if you are a lady, say a little girl, who always looked for some opportunity to be alone. Because this boy was thinking, if I learn to be alone with myself, I will soon learn to be alone with God. This little boy, as he was sitting in the forest of his, which was near to his hometown, he would look up and he would see birds flying in the sky and developed an irresistible urge to one day fly himself. But when he asked his parents, they said, no, we are humans, we are born without wings and all the other things which are necessary for the birds to take to the sky and fly. So the little boy forgot about his desire, but as he grew up, the desire kept on coming back to him. He wanted to fly. And one day, a fateful thing happened. As he looked up in the sky, he saw an airplane. And when he asked his neighbors about the airplane, the neighbors gave him the answer, yes, this is an airplane. And by the use of an airplane, even human beings can fly in the sky. Wow! Here was an answer to his childhood dream. By entering an airplane, it would actually be possible for him to fly. So he took to a pilot school, and after completing with first class honors the pilot school, the boy, who was now a young man, thought, where do humans fly? And he was directed to an airport. And here something happened. The boy was seen to be extremely talented and was stuck into an airport office. He regulated the incoming and outgoing flights so that there would be no accidents on the runways, but he never flew himself. He arranged for the flying of others, and he became very, very frustrated in his old age. This is an analogy. The analogy wants to show that each one of us took to the path of Krishna consciousness in order to become closer to Krishna, in order to develop his or her devotional sentiments. But very often something happens to us. Instead of advancing, instead of experiencing love of Krishna, we are, because of our good qualities, ending up in some office, some preaching effort, where we try to manage the spiritual life of others, where we try to inspire others to make advancement. But what is about us? Often we are left on the way, like the boy who was spending his life in a smelly little office. Why smelly? Because when the planes took off, the exhaustion pipe came through the open window and made his environment even more toxic than it was already. Do you understand my analogy? This happens for many people who enter institutions. All of a sudden, the institutions are very valuable, and our ISKCON is a really effective institution. I think there's a lot of mercy of Prabhupada in it. But if you only become a manager of some branch of our movement, and if you are not becoming an ecstatic devotee who feels Krishna consciousness in his heart, you will be frustrated, and there is a great risk that you will leave us. Like so many of our enthusiastic, talented young devotees who have left the service because of not feeling that personal satisfaction which initially called them or attracted them so that they joined the Krishna consciousness in the first place. So I do not require to go more in my analogy. How can we avoid it? How can each one of you take to an ecstatic, fulfilling Krishna consciousness? I will today not focus on sadhana. I will today not focus on the holy name. I will today not even focus on proper Vaishnava relationships. All these are important. I will today only speak about the secrets of service. I'm today, so many secrets are today. the secret of all secrets. We had in our, I'm smiling because we had it in our class or seminar. The hidden secrets of Krishna's message of love, or something like this. It was a very, very. We spent a wonderful time together exploring this. So, the secrets of service. First of all, you must know that there are two aspects of devotional service. There is what is called the Cheshta Rupa, and then there is what is called the Bhava Rupa of Bhakti. Cheshta Rupa Bhakti means that service which is externally visible, where you make an effort to do things. Like, for instance, someone may have the service of dressing the deities, as an example. So he will become active in securing the various items that are necessary, the aratic paraphernalia, for instance, or in the morning he will require to change the dress of the deities. So he will have various deity dresses. He will maybe sew them himself or order a tailor in Vrindavan to do so. So there's a lot of effort which goes into the service of the deity. But this is Cheshta Rupa Bhakti. But then comes Bhava Rupa Bhakti. That's the life force of the Bhakti. It's the devotional feelings. Bhava means a mood, a feeling, an inner orientation, which must be there. For instance, Putana, this is an example given in Shastra, she did everything like a vet nurse does. She brought Krishna to her chest. She bared her bosom to breastfeed him. But her bhava was, let me kill Krishna. Therefore, she has not really performed an act of bhakti. This is an extreme example, but it makes it bears open to our gaze, or it reveals, this is the proper English word, the difference between Cheshta Rupa Bhakti and Bhava Rupa Bhakti. Someone may do all the efforts, all the external works that are done, and it really looks like, wow, he's a very effective devotee. But because the bhava, the heartbeat, is missing, the devotional mood, I'm doing this for you, Krishna, therefore his external activities are not really satisfying Krishna, and also not satisfying himself or herself. you can you must really know that devotional service has an external form where you engage the body in doing various things, but then it has to have that internal form where you engage the mind in Krishna service, where you're not just counting the circles as you do the artic. I'm hearing there are 7 circles, 2 to the, no, 3 to the feet, 2 to the middle portion of the deity, and help me with the mathematics. 4, 2, 3, 7. Yes, 4 to the feet, 2 to the middle portion, 3 to the head, and 7 all around. Ah, this is the way to do arti. Now, if I go and do all this, and I count it, and maybe there's a very, very observative devotee who counts along with me to see if I know the mathematics. That's where my artik stops. 4, 2, 3, 7. It is not really what we would call complete bhakti. I would also have to do, to think, oh, my dear Lord Krishna, I'm offering this to you on the behalf of the devotees. Please be so kind to overlook the faults in my offerings and see my devotional intent and so on. Then all of a sudden, 4, 2, 3, 7 becomes bhakti. You hear this? You understand what? Not here, of course, but you follow what I'm trying to say. 2 forms of bhakti: Cheshta Rupa Bhakti and Bhava Rupa Bhakti. Very important. If you do, it's so important that sometimes it is said, even if a devotee cannot physically secure the ingredients for his service, if he mentally worships Krishna, Krishna accepts it. No? We know these examples. Remember the Brahmana? The Brahmana was very poor, but he was content. He wanted to offer Krishna nice things, but he was living in abject poverty. So one day he came to a lecture of a Vaishnava, and the Vaishnava said, if you do not have the physical opportunity to serve Krishna, do so in the mind. And what did our Brahmana do? He constructed a beautiful temple, and every day he went into the temple. He dressed the deities in costly garments. He then cleansed the whole temple, made it brilliantly and sparkling clean. And then he would offer first-class food, which he had cooked, and he ended his program, meditational program, by singing and dancing in ecstasy before the deity. One day, it so happened that the sweet rice which he had cooked in his meditation, remember, he's meditating. If you would see him, he would see him meditating on the banks of the Godavari, a sacred river. I'm entering the temple. I'm now dressing the deity. Wow. And now I'm cleansing the temple. Now I'm going to the kitchen, cooking for my Lord. Now I'm bringing the food, and soon I will do kirtan and dance for him. So he's just there doing this in his mind. So as he is carrying the bowl of freshly prepared sweet rice to the deities, his fingers slip into the preparation and burn themselves. Now he was meditating, but he feels, he comes out of his meditation and his fingers are actually burned. How is it possible? I did everything in meditation, but my fingers are troubled. So as he was thinking like this, the Lord in Vaikuntha is smiling. Lakshmi sits next to him. Why do you smile? Something. I'm smiling about something. What in particular? You will see. So the Lord calls his servants and they go down to where the Brahmana is sitting and wondering about his burnt thumbs and how they burned. And the servant said, the Lord said, you can come. You don't need to do any strenuous service any longer. He wants to see you. So they bring the Brahmin back home, back to Godhead. The Lord says, I'm very grateful for your offering of bhakti. He has not done anything externally, but his bhava, his mood was just so pure and so devotional. And you may stay now with me and you will never have to go into the material world. I'm so satisfied by your service. So the Brahmana, it is revealed to us, stayed from that day on at the side of the Lord because the Lord had rewarded him for his bhakti, which was mostly a bhakti where his devotional feelings were offered to the Lord. If your bhakti has these two aspects, you do things in the bhakti school and you do it in a devotional mood as an offering to Krishna, you are perfect. You are really perfect. But of the two, as this story tells us, that bhava rupa bhakti is counted most. No? If you only do activities, then yes, that's also good because hopefully you will be purified and cleansed, and then one day you will be able to offer not just service but devotional service. Service that is enhanced with deep feelings of devotion. Hare Krishna. This is my more philosophical introduction to our subject, the secrets of devotional service. Now I would like to tell you the more practical aspects. I would like to tell you about my own discovery of the need of devotional service, and then would like to talk about what I saw Srila Prabhupada's attitude was about this, and then I will round it up and open the forum for any questions. So, my personal experience with service. Prabhupada, when we were doing our services, he would request the temple presidents to send the devotees to the Mayapur festival. Many presidents had difficulties to send all the devotees. That means they would have to pay the flights, and it also meant for the time of the festival, for about one entire month, the devotees would not go and distribute any in the literature, and there would be no Lakshmi, so it was a double expense. And one of the Prabhupada's presidents said, Prabhupada, we just don't have the money to send everyone to Mayapur for the festival. And Prabhupada asked him a question. He said, do you eat? Yes, I eat. Why? Well, I thought you have no money. But you somehow eat. Yes, because it's necessary. And then Prabhupada said, in the same way as it's necessary for you to somehow eat to maintain your health, in exactly the same way it's necessary that you nourish the devotees by by sending them to Mayapur and let them experience the whole Mayapur festival. Prabhupada was so much about nourishing devotees. So I heard I was young, when I had joined, I was young, I had heard about Sridhar Mayapur, situated so lovely at the banks of the Ganga and being a holy dharma, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there and he, it's his dharma. I had heard all these things. So then I came with high expectations to Mayapur. I was really very young. So the first day I got a terrible sunburn. Whew. I became red like a tomato. An aesthetically very interesting sight, but it was very painful. I was not accustomed to the biosphere. That means I had problems with the water and had a terrible disease in the intestine developed. And I still remember my Mayapur visit turned to be really exhausting and really hellish. Somehow I did not close my mosquito net during the night very nicely, and when I woke up I was really covered with mosquito bites from head to toe. It was really, really, really it became a nightmare, my Mayapur stay. So finally, totally exhausted, I came to my temple president and said, look at me, I'm covered with mosquito bites, I'm sick in the intestines. I must say I find the lectures extremely boring and intellectually totally unstimulating. Please allow me to go back to Germany, take an early flight. And this devotee knew exactly what was going on and said, you can go, but make one last attempt. Why don't you serve? And I have a suggestion. Serve today the devotees when they take prasadam. Go there with the buckets and, you know, they would all sit in a row and we would, the servers would just put the preparations spoon by spoon, or what is it called? Scoop? Ladle, yes. We would ladle it on their plates. And I got the dal, because no one wanted to do the dal, because it, when you go a little bit on the side, it becomes slippery, and when you come the next time, whoop, you might lose your balance and so on. So I did the dal for 1,200 devotees about. And my dear devotees, I resisted doing it at the beginning, but then when the devotees were so thankful because there were tomatoes in the dal, a rare luxury at that time, and they were praising the dal and they requested me to bring more. And as I was doing this, my the inner cloud dissolved and I became quite happy doing it. And after this experience, I left the prasadam hall. I still remember it. And I looked around in Mayapur, and where I had seen only disturbances, I saw only very deep inspirations in my Krishna consciousness. The Ganga looked brilliant. The devotees were looking very inspiring. The kirtans, which I attended in the evening, had a lot of taste And even the lecture the next morning was no longer boring, but highly relevant to my situation. By service, my dear devotees, my entire perspective had changed, and I was no longer in a nightmarish country, but I felt I was in the kingdom of God. Really, this experience I had. Later, maybe 2 years later, Srila Prabhupada was our visitor. Srila Prabhupada was in, came to Goloka Dham, and yes, he was lecturing. I remember. And then after lecturing, he decided to make a tour through the castle. And so we put everything in order so that he would find the best version of our temple. We lived in a castle. And I remember Prabhupada was due to come around 10 o'clock to the translator office. We had a huge room like this, and we had the translators working on his on the publication of his books. There was one table that was my table with the first translation of the texts into English, into German. Then there was an editor, Veda Vyas, and then there were other tables in which you know, the fidelity check was done. In other words, was my translation and the edited version really loyal to the text, and so on. So there were all these tables, and we worked all in one room. There was even a table which was not always occupied for the painter, the illustrator, who made fresh pictures. Because we wanted to do a good service for the books. So Prabhupada, as I said, was due to come at 10 o'clock, but it became 10:30 and he had not yet come. He was maybe stuck in the kitchen or somewhere where he looked. So I thought, phew, I'd taken my prasadam in the morning, and I was very tired. I had, you know, you all know when you get up at 3:30 and then you do the whole morning program, you go to the lecture, you take your meals, then around 9 o'clock, you are really tired, especially if the meal was halava or something like this. So I had been struggling to keep awake, but when Prabhupada was not yet there at 10:30, I thought, 7 minutes rest. So I put the alarm clock on 7 minutes, and I went behind my table, because it was a table, a low table. I went to take a rest. Now, in the midst of the rest, I hear all of a sudden voices in the room. And I hear the deep voice of Srila Prabhupada and the higher voice of Hansa Dutta, who explained the different operations. And he said, and yes, and here Prabhupada is the first stage of your translation. We call it the raw translation from English to German. So I'm, Prabhupada is before my table. So I look through the table just to check, not through the underneath the table, and I see his Romika. Romika is a German brand, Hauspuschen, you know, those house shoes. And I see the end of his dhoti. And he is studying the raw translation under which, under the table of which his raw translator has a raw encounter with sleep, you know. I thought, what looks more foolish if Prabhupada sees me lying under the table or if I die with a sheepish look and reddened cheeks? If I dive underneath the table and come into his vision. And I decided for the second option. So I slowly lifted my body and I came, whoop, under the table. And I looked as awake as I could. And I looked into my eyes and he saw, he must have seen the incredible shame that I might have disappointed him. Here he comes one time in the life and inspects my place of service. And what am I doing? Well, he will think he sleeps the whole day. So I'm really, Prabhupada looks at me and he just, his face breaks out in a smile because it really looked coming under the table, and his eyes say, "Don't worry a bit. It's all right." And with his very human expression and humorous expression, I felt totally relieved. And I think Hans Duda asked me a question. I do not know what the question was. I do not know what I said because I was so excited to be in the presence of Prabhupada. But Prabhupada nodded and acknowledged whatever answer I gave. During that time, I felt so close to my spiritual master, and I felt also that all mistakes which were there, this one was a small one of, you know, resting at the service place, they were excused just by the power of the service. And just a little later, I was sitting before Prabhupada's room and editing one German book. It was called Life Comes from Life. I think you have seen this book also, this conversation. So I was sitting before, and all of a sudden, Prabhupada's servant comes out of the room and asked rather hastily, "Is there anyone here who can do service? Who can do massage?" So I said, "Yes, Shivananda. He has massaged Prabhupada." "Where's Shivananda?" "Prabhupada said I should not massage him because I have a fever and he told me to go to bed and get someone else." So I looked for Shivananda, but I heard he had gone to a town to purchase something, so he was not there. So I came back and I said to the servant of Prabhupada, I think it was Satswarup Maharaj at that time, I said, "Shivananda, who has massaged Prabhupada in the past, is not available, but I am actually a very accomplished masseur." He looked at me with that questioning eye, "Really?" And I went, so he said, because time was running out and Prabhupada had limited time for the massage, "Okay, you go in and you massage Prabhupada." So I went in, and the moment I went in, I felt so bad that I had lied. I had no idea of massaging. I just wanted to be close to Prabhupada. And I remember I entered into the room and Prabhupada looked at me and I looked at Prabhupada and I started to sweat because I felt so bad for my lie. I still remember there were oceans of water on each side of the shirt. And Prabhupada looked at me and said, "Just do your service." He was not interested in in, you know, many words, just do your service. So I went down on my knees, I took the mustard oil and I applied it from, you know, he was sitting in the gamsha from the, you know, the hip and up. And as I was going higher, Prabhupada said, harder. Okay. More strength. Harder. Harder. So I was applying all my, you know, it's called leverage, I think, when you take a little angle and I was pressing down on Prabhupada. Finally, Prabhupada looked around and said, it was not hard enough. He said, what do you do for service? He thought I was maybe lazy or not doing anything, and that's why I was so weak. So I said to Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I'm trying to translate your books from English into German. Prabhupada looked at me and his eyes light. Acha, he said. Because it was almost like a colleague greeting another colleague, you know. I'm also translating from Sanskrit to English. So it was almost a camaraderie. Then he asked, how many pages do you do a day? So I wanted to impress Prabhupada and gave my super best number. I think it was 17 pages. It's, you know, when you have text, only text, no like verses in between, but text like in Krishna book, 70 pages is good, you know, it's far. So 17 pages, Prabhupada. So again, Prabhupada looks back and says, really? I said, Prabhupada, excuse me, on my best day, I did 17 pages, average 13. So yes, we didn't speak much, but Prabhupada then turned again to me and gave me a very amazing instruction. He said a disciple should be four things. He should be a good student, then he should also be a teacher. He used the word guru. He should be a teacher of what he has learned. He should be a water carrier and a cook. So he said this. I will not go into explaining each one, but really what I take from this meeting, and I've always taken it, is that Prabhupada wanted to know our service. Again, this word service, the magical word appeared. In Mayapur it was service which changed my perspective. Remember, I served the devotees prasadam, although I was in an awful consciousness, and my consciousness changed. Now when Prabhupada saw me entering his room, he said, just do your service. He asked, what do you do for service? And then he gave me four instructions, which became the guiding light in my life up till now, also related to devotional service. Service, my dear devotees, believe it or not, is a key to the spiritual world. In the material world, we want to be masters, we want to control our environment so that we can derive the maximum amount of pleasure from it. In the spiritual world, when we stand before God, we only have one question: how can I serve you? There is a book called Sangita Madhava. It's not so known, and it describes a soul which returns back to Godhead and then sees Radha and Krishna for the first time. Soul is bewildered. He asks, is this a cloud? When he looks at Krishna, then he says, no, a cloud cannot rain nectar upon us. Is this a black tamal tree? No, a tamal tree does not move. In this way, by the process of exclusion, he comes to understand this, my Lord. And then he asks, my Lord, how can I serve you? Service is the key to the spiritual world. And service is what changes your entire perspective of Krishna consciousness. Service is what gives you the ability to act on the Krishna conscious platform. But you need to understand service needs to have two forms. What were the two forms? Do you remember? Yes? Cheshta Rupa Bhakti, that's the external forms where you engage the senses, and then Bhava Rupa Bhakti. I think it makes a lot of sense to us that the Bhava or inner mood must be there to make that devotional service or service that is enriched with devotion and not just an activity. So, yes, this is the secret of service. I mean, there are many more things about to be said, but I wanted to really encourage you to engage in, to see this Bhakti school as a unique possibility of devotional service, and make sure that you have these two things in your life alive, no? Cheshta Rupa and Bhava Rupa Bhakti. I wanted to also say on another note something which I save for the end. I'm just thinking. So I would be very happy if you have some questions. I always think when we come together for a very specific time on a very specific subject, it's good if we really try to milk the cow or take everything that we can from such a meeting. Maybe you want to ask on things like you are now 50 years in the devotional line. Did you have crises? Was it always easy? If you had obstacles, what helped you to overcome them? I think these things which are hidden behind the politeness of English talk are important, no? Hare Krishna. It must be interesting for you to hear someone who has not the mother tongue English to try to communicate in English with a different choice of words, most probably, than you use. Yes, so I think I saw some devotees. Yes, your good name again, Prabhuji? Rajesh Prabhu.
The name is Rajesh. And I had a question around in service, oftentimes, especially with meetings, we might find that we have clashes or disagreements. And oftentimes, it might even get into the mode of passion where you're trying to put your point across and then the other person's trying to put their point across. And obviously, collectively, we're trying to come to what is the best way to move forward for Krishna. But how can we keep that internal bhava, rupa bhakti, in those sorts of situations?
One item of service is to take on voluntary austerities. And there is no greater austerity than to deal with other persons who have a different or radically or entirely different perspective on the same thing. It sometimes challenges our sense of identity or as we say in ISKCON, our false ego, you know. So to work maturely with differences is a great austerity. It is this, when Prabhupada asked us to cooperate, he asked us to perform austerity, really, because there's nothing more difficult than that. Therefore, you usually surround yourself with people who have the same mood. This is the instruction for forging devotional friendships. You are together with people who have the same mood. But in a management meeting, we meet people who have an entirely different understanding of what should be done. And at that time, I think there are two things which come to your help. The first thing is that, yes, you're doing this as an austerity for Krishna. You wouldn't do that in the... You would only do this if you would be paid money. Then you, in kami or non-devotional companies, they also have to go through this austerity, but they get paid for this. Mm-hmm. But we don't. So you are... there for another cause, not for getting money. You are there because you know what we want to do can be only done in, by a group effort, and for that I have to tolerate the other. Now, a second perspective on this is that, you know, is your perspective really the only perspective on reality? I always ask myself with the same feeling that we say, oh, your perspective is really irrelevant. The other person can rightfully say, your perspective is perceived by me as very irrelevant. It misses the point here. There are a few things in which things can be done. And I think mature Krishna consciousness means my version is not the only one. I don't have... I have seen this many times. You know, now I'm, believe it or not, I'm so old. I'm almost... I'm stretching. If I stretch a little, I'm 70 years old. But otherwise, I'm 68. That's outstretching. But with a little stretch, whoop, I'm as old as a dinosaur. I have seen with getting old, oh God, that the whole world is not composed of Satchidananda Swami's perspective. It would be boring. It would not be for everyone. It would not be relevant. So I have learned to embrace other perspectives. But when I was young, I thought my perspective is the only perspective. Yes, because I only looked through my perspective in the world. I couldn't see anything from another perspective. I didn't look. But take it as a necessary austerity, because we cannot obtain our goals without having various other perspectives on board. And a servant should be willing to take this perspectives, because our master has requested us to cooperate together. What helps me also very much is a simple exercise which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did. There were in the ashram where he was, I think it was the Chaitanya Math, there were two sannyasis who radically differed on almost everything. It became so, let us say, so, you know, how do you say this? So heated at times. Thank you, Niskinshan. So heated that Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, one day called them together. It was Sannyasi A and Sannyasi B. They were facing each other. So he said, "So, Sannyasi A, is there anything good you can see in Sannyasi B?" So Sannyasi A said, "Guru Maharaj, it's very difficult to see something good in him." No, anything. Something. "Okay, I congratulate you that you are vegetarian." Good, you found good that he is nourishing himself with good vegetarian meals. So Sannyasi B, say anything good you can see in Sannyasi A. "Oh, Guru Maharaj, I tried, but there's nothing. He's a cosmic disturbance." Something. So Sannyasi B looked at Sannyasi A. He said, "I'm glad that you sleep in the ashram. At least you sleep in the ashram." So it went back and forth. And after some time, by deliberately trying to see the good, the atmosphere changed between the two. So you need to take a few approaches on this. Trying to see the good in Niskinshan is not so difficult, but you may have to look. "Oh, first I see what he's so learned, my God." The second, "Oh, he's actually a very amiable person." And then you look again. "Actually, he's very serious, although he sometimes jokes like a worker from the Hamburg harbor." Sorry, that is, maybe I should not speak. In our country, those who work on the harbor, they are harbor people. They have a certain culture. But try to see repeatedly, not just one time, the good in others, and the tension which you feel will relax. Good. So, there, Dimple, maybe. "I talked to your father. He's a wonderful person, very serious in Krishna consciousness." Yes, please ask your question.
"Thank you, Maharaj. My humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. I wanted to ask about, the Chesta Bhava. Sometimes most of us have full-time jobs, and then other things to do with family. There's a list of services to do in the evening after your day job, and it's not always, I don't find it that easy to develop that bhava whilst I'm doing it. For me, it's just making sure I do everything, do it properly, but I'm not in so much of a loving mood because I have so many other things to do before I go to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
I'm reading, trying to read. And so, kindly share, like, how can we get into that mood in
service
when there's so many balls
we're
juggling in the air?
So Chesta Rupa Bhakti is where you do endeavors, and Bhava Rupa Bhakti is the bhakti where you put your heart into it, your devotional heart. So the question is, when I have such huge do lists that I just am happy to tick off, how can I see that I still have a devotion in there? You know, I learned a very simple way that is the last thing I do when I'm in my bed and I'm preparing to fall asleep, I'm switching off my thoughts, is I offer what I did to Krishna at that time. It is a habit which I have developed, It comes from the Bhagavatam, Kayena Vacha Manasindhyavai. It is, the verse says, my dear Lord, whatever I have spoken with my words, whatever I have thought with my intelligence, whatever I have done with my efforts, Narayanayam Samapayami, I offer to you, my Lord. No? This is how I end my day. And this is how Vaishnavas are supposed to end their day. You offer everything for Krishna. So by having done this for half a year, I developed a thought. I'm actually offering everything in the evening. Why don't I offer the things while I'm actually fully alive, that is, fully awake, and so on? And then I read something from Jiva Goswami. It said, bhakti means that before you do an activity, you offer it to Krishna. Whereas karma is, when you have done an activity, hogya finished, then afterwards you are saying, this is for you. Because in that karma activity, there is no bhakti. You know, you just do the activity which needs to be done and which you like to do, or which you do because you wish to enjoy the fruits of your activities. And then after it's done, you take a little percentage and say, it's for you. You give a donation, for instance, to the temple and so on. But bhakti is different from karma. You say, like, when you do something, like, for instance, this event, which you have so nicely prepared, and when you sit down behind your computer, you do this little step and say, my dear Lord, I would like to offer the service which I do during this event for your to your pleasure. It's just this awareness, this little switch. It doesn't take more than just being a little bit alert and attentive. You don't want this to be bhakti, right? So that is the first step to do this. Maybe that when you go to the finally take your rest and then just go through the day, this was there, this was there, this was there, my Lord, please accept this as a loving offering. And then after you have, or simultaneously, I would say, parallel to this, you learn to just offer it for Krishna. Or in my case, when I sing, at the moment my voice is not yet back to normal, because in India, there's so much air pollution at the moment. You really, it burns in the lungs. It's so heavy. That was when I was in Delhi, I felt it. In Vrindavan, this year, there was good wind and breezes. It just kept the air clean, but not in Delhi. So when I offer my kirtan, I say, my Lord, my voice is unfortunately still a little bit exhausted and tired from the kirtans. We did so many kirtans in Delhi on our way out or back to Europe. But please accept whatever little devotion I have as an offering. And it makes everything so different, Dimple. Today's one of you came to me and said, thank you, Maharaj, for the meditation. So I said, I was thinking for a moment, what meditation? I usually give 20 minutes, half an hour meditations. And then the devotee said, yeah, you know, when you told us to take one of the Krishna's qualities about which we should meditate according to Krishna, and then do this with kirtan, I came to a space in Krishna consciousness I was never before. I felt just so relieved. There was so much happiness and ananda in my heart, and I didn't want to stop, actually, which is unusual for me. So It was, I told the devotees, this was only a switch you did. It was only adding to what you do already, just a little bit, that you offered your kirtan to Krishna, you sang for Krishna. And this exactly is what you need to learn in your service. It's only a little bit. No. You say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you chant your rounds. What do you say there? Please accept my service. So why don't, I can't understand, why do we leave it there as a philosophical statement which we hear and agree to in a lecture? Why don't we do this when we do? No, please accept the service of mine. Krishna.
Really helpful.
Krishna. Yeah, anyone else wants to ask a question? I think we saw someone. Rajesh, yes. The microphone is coming your way.
Hare Krishna, Dimash.
Hare Krishna.
I'm going to sort of spin it around a little bit.
Yes.
Because, you know, when we've been really fortunate to serve so many amazing devotees, and it's nice when you can get nourished, you learn, and then you try and maybe take that into the workspace, you know, when you're at work. And I've heard some really nice devotees explain that we should try and have that serving attitude at work. But sometimes at work, it can be a different environment where, you know, you can't really use words like serving, and, you know, it may not be receptive to that kind of language. Not to
move. My dear boss, please accept my service. And do not take offense with my many mistakes today. Then the bus goes like this. Please come over here, bring the people from the lunatic asylum with you. We have a severe case. Yes, what else? And please, may I offer my obeisances to you, Boss G? Yes, it doesn't work, yes.
Sometimes, you know, for me, I've tried to have that kind of mood. But okay, if you can't use that sort of language, at least try and think you're not helping, but you're sort of serving. But you've got responsibilities as well. And sometimes your responsibilities may be just getting the work done. After you've done that, is that okay to maybe compromise sometimes? But when you do compromise, you can take that energy with you into services outside.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm sorry. Have I interrupted you or no? I think what the devotees want to express when they say serve your people at work is they express it in a simplified way, but what it really means in the Shastras, the way we are dealing with fellow human beings is in a mood of compassion. And that may entail to do something actively for someone. Please listen, this is an intellectually demanding point. The way we relate to others is in a mood of compassion. The way we relate to God is in a mood of service. Not towards other human beings. That is compassion. Very important. The service is meant for God and the devotees also who are representing God. The fellow human beings, we are compassionate. We see where they are and we approach them with goodwill to help them, and it sometimes manifests many times in doing something for them, carrying their groceries over the the town, or when we see someone at the working place, our compassion is the feeling of trying to understand where they are and relieving their existence. It may manifest in let me make some photocopies which you need to do. I can do them at the photocopy machine and then bring the photocopies. But this word compassion is carrying much more information than service in this context. It means when we see someone, we want to do something as devotees to lift them up. And that mood will describe our activities that we will do. So we are not just coming from the place to be nice to them and to, yeah, of course we are nice to them, but we are compassionate to them. We want to uplift them. The human being, our Vaishnava's greatest dharma in this world is not service to others, it is compassion to others. And service is here only a byproduct of that. So when you do compassionate service, you do know what to do at that moment for others. Sometimes it may say, I mean, you say, no, this is not possible. You're asking me something. I cannot do it because it is not serving the greater good, and so on. That is compassionate, but you did not render you didn't do what the other person expected you to do or wanted to do. Is it clear? This is a big subject, no? Compassion means really, my dear devotees, I recognize this in my life, that I wanted to make my activities full of compassion. For instance, as a preacher, in the beginning, I just preached to get seeker points. What is a seeker point? It's something like a scalp hunter who brings a new person to the shaving instrument, and then he sends them in the Bhakta program. It's not asking, is this good for the person? It's good, I need a seeker point, a scalp point, you know. So that is not a compassionate preacher. If I preach from the point of compassion to others, I will think, what is good for them? Maybe the first step here is to motivate him to read the Bhagavad Gita. Then the next point is I should motivate him to chant and get into sadhana. And then I should ask if he has any questions, and if he has, I should answer the questions. And if I see this is a person who is suited for ashram life, I will recommend him to go into the ashram life. That is a compassionate preacher as opposed to a scalp hunter. You know what is a scalp? Red Indian civilization, yes. So yes, compassion. I developed something like Compassion Tuesday. I stopped it, but every Tuesday I'm meditating about compassionate acts. I pray for the benefit of human society. Mm-hmm. Good. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. What is your good
name? My name is Narendra.
Narendra?
Narendra.
Yeah.
And my question, Maharaj, is how do you maintain enthusiasm for the long game? Because service is wonderful, you know, when you start off, it's like, you know, signing up for Liverpool Football Club by Jurgen Klopp. So you play your best few matches, and then after a while you you know, you don't score any goals. So in bhakti life, how do you maintain that enthusiasm?
There are few things that nourish enthusiasm that need to be kept in place. And for a very simple answer, the regular reading is so important, because then you know why you're doing things. It's not just for the results, which may come or not come, but you become installed by this reading of, in your constitutional position, what you are, a servant. Another big nourisher of enthusiasm is good association, where you have heartfelt discussions and reveal your mind in confidence and ask also these hard questions which are necessary, you know. Hard questions are when you say, for instance, I'm convinced intellectually or theoretically, but I'm struggling with desires that pull me in an entirely different way. So yes, the sangha is very important. And finally, I think we all must find a spiritual practice that is enthusing us. It may not be for you chanting japa. You may not actually feel so much a bliss in chanting japa, because you are simply not a japa man. It can be. The many I see in my retreats, many good devotees come to me and explain to me, even after trying for 50 years, that they have no taste in japa. But then we usually find a place, something where they have taste. I know many devotees who have taste in kirtan, or I have seen in my life, I've tried very many things in devotional service, and I have been able to isolate those things where I immediately have taste, and I do them primarily, and then I can do the other things as well. So three things help you to remain enthusiastic. That is the regular reading, then good sangha, very good sangha, where you can reveal your mind in confidence. And finally, lastly, is a fulfilling spiritual practice. Mind the word fulfilling. No, that should not. Of course, we do some things. For instance, we finish our rounds, even if it is an austerity to finish our rounds sometimes, you know. But we can find the areas where we feel really nourished and convinced. Thank you, Narendra.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yes, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. In 1 second, please. Narendra, I have discovered in my life pilgrimage. Wow. I become so enthusiastic to go to Vrindavan. It's really, not everyone whom I know, some are fearing Vrindavan because, there are monkeys in Vrindavan. Oh, he can come up and down. Wonderful. Hare Krishna. And they steal glasses. Ah, he has a glass. This was wonderful. He has a glass. Look at this, Gaur Krishna. He's a monkey who has stolen sunglasses. Very nice. Whose idea is this? Sankirtan Priya? What? Yes. So I have discovered pilgrimage. Now, pilgrimage is really very, very powerful for me. And of all the pilgrimage places I've discovered, I like to sit at the banks of the Yamuna. That's my spot. Yes. Yes, Mataji, please. What is your good name?
My name is Geeta.
Geeta, oh.
Please accept my humble obeisances, Guru Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for your wonderful class. It's been very insightful indeed. Just really wanted to ask you if you can offer us some advice. So, I serve in the retreats department, events and retreats department for School of Bhakti. We've come together nearly after 2 years now. Because of COVID, we haven't been able to put on any retreats. So we are quite a new team that formed together. So could you offer us any advice of how we can serve nicely together and develop as a team together that service mood and attitude?
Yeah. A team really needs an exciting nucleus to which everyone can relate. You know, when you have a team, which it should be devotees who are in that team because of that nucleus. You know, for instance, in your case, organizing retreats. And it should be those devotees, they will then read the new book of Rupa Sheldrake, Seven Principles of Going on Retreat, scientifically argued and so on. They will like to educate themselves because they feel the word retreat or the activity of a retreat bears within it something that they are absolutely interested in. Transformation, for instance. So, yes, and this, they're passionate about a subject, not just about coming together and in the end eating prasadam together. You know, it must be, they must be focused on the subject and love it. And then they can really churn the matter. So, sometimes we have teams. But really, some of the members don't even know why they are on that team. They just happen to stumble there. And when they stumbled, they crash-landed in the team, so to say. And that is not a basis for good cooperation. Good teams are formed when you have people who are really fiery about something. Hare Krishna. So, here's another devotee. Yes, please. Your good name?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My name is Saudev. I come from Reading Congregation.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, by the way, for your japa inspirations. I really love it. Mm-hmm. I listened to it like, before japa. It's so helpful. Thank you. About Chashtha Rupa Bhakti and Bhava Rupa Bhakti.
Yes.
I had a small question. How do we... I feel that sometimes, for example, I don't have this Bhava Rupa Bhakti, but like, from time to time, I feel this inspiration. And should I continue just doing Chashtha Rupa Bhakti, then Bhava Rupa Bhakti will somehow come? Or like, for example, last Saturday, I went for this Sankirtana. We do it in Reading High Streets, distributing books. And at the beginning, I didn't feel like it was. I mean, I did it before. I like it a lot. It's just nice, but at some point I didn't feel very much like confident. Like, yeah, I distributed some books, it was nice, but at some point I felt like, oh, I'm tired, or like I'm like cold or something, I'm hungry. Like, is it just my mind? Or I should just, I mean, I'm just wondering, like, should I stop that moment and go take rest? or should I continue and then it will come? Or like, I'm a bit confused with this.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. No, your question has evolved while you were speaking. Hare Krishna.
The December book marathon, like, we try to distribute more books. And I sometimes feel like a bit pressure, like on myself, even if I'm tired or something. Should I still
yes,
go on
yes,
to
yes.
it? Or like, should I?
I know your question. I understood it, and I want to say there are two considerations here. When you look at your whole life, then you should be concerned that more and more advancement is made in the field of Bhava Rupa Bhakti, that you're really, to say a simple word which Prabhupada used, to be Krishna conscious while you do this. Have you heard this word before? Good. What does it mean? There's two words, Krishna conscious. It means to be conscious or aware of Krishna. How should you hate him, or should you love him? Or, you know, of course you should do devotional service to him. So you must see that during the course of your life, your awareness of Krishna increases. That means that you think of him during the day, and you do not forget him during the day. No, that is the whole purpose of what we do. To always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna. That is the purpose of all the rules of and regulations. All the rules and regulations, in fact, are servant to this principle. No? It points us to Bhava Rupa Bhakti, this instruction. Now, this is the big picture. Now, in the big picture, there are individual services. You mentioned Sankirtan as one of the service, book distribution. And here, in the direct activity, you need to sometimes push through the mental fog of unwillingness and so on. In other words, have you noted in book distribution, normally it is a little difficult before you come into the Sankirtan flow, so to say. That means you try a few times, you meet people whom you offer the book who are really not very interested in it, and they let you know that they are disinclined with harsh words and gestures of rejection. And now if you would then go home and say, I'm sorry, I'm not in Bhava Rupa Bhakti at the moment, it will never come. You have to continue. You have to tolerate the rejection, the cold, the unwillingness of people. And as you are endeavoring, all of a sudden you push through and someone says, what do you have there? Please show me and explain what is in the books, and then you can find the right words, and then you tell them. So, on the big picture of your life, see that your consciousness and awareness of Krishna increases, and on the individual services which you do within the big picture, see that you are actually embracing the austerities and overcoming obstacles for Krishna's pleasure. That's very, very important to have these two perspectives. Hare Krishna. So we are slowly coming towards the end, isn't it, Sankirtan Priya?
Yes.
Slowly we are approaching. Ooh, we are really in good time here. I would like to address you now from a personal consideration. I want to encourage you in deeply in my heart for doing this service. About 17 years ago, I developed a strong, I saw that there is a strong need to guide people who have become somewhat interested in Krishna consciousness, to guide them onwards so that they are, becoming knowledgeable in Krishna consciousness and confident to act on the platform of Krishna consciousness. For that end, I developed a life school called the Vedic Way, it's almost completed, really. It needs one more editing through the whole material, and then it could be published. I did this, and I spent a lot of time and research and energy there, because it was clear for me that if we don't train the devotees and give them a solid platform where they experience the nectar of Krishna consciousness, we will not really do a good service to our devotees, and we will not keep the devotees. So then I heard that there is the life school, or the bhakti school, actually, and I became very, very inspired. And when I listened to some of the presentations there, I must admit I mostly listened to Sutapa, because we are in Germany fans of Sutapa. So, but when I saw this systematic training, I thought, wow, this is exactly something that is necessary. There are so many people who are receiving books now. How many books have we distributed in the UK? Does anyone have any idea? There must be some calculation. I think a few million. Millions. Any estimation? The BBT would know. I think it would be like 100 million or something like this. So they know what is Krishna consciousness. They know that there is Krishna consciousness, but they can't grasp it. There needs to be Srila Prabhupada hinted at this many, many times. There needs to be systematic school of bhakti, and I'm so happy to, first of all, see that you are doing it very nicely. When I finished my Vedic Way, I will knock at the door of the bhakti school and ask, can I teach it, or is someone interested in this? But in the meantime, I'm just very, very, very convinced that this is the right way to go. It's revolutionary, and what I heard, that you're looking for partners to make this more available all over the world. I really recommend to you to ask yourself a question. What does a person need to know to practice bhakti? And then you assemble around this question your answer. He needs to know this, 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 this. And this is how in the world we approach yourself. What do I need to know to do this, to practice this? And I'm very honored. I'm not so much a scholarly devotee, my approach is the experience of Krishna consciousness. How can we experience what it talks about? And I'm very happy if I can contribute to your school with whatever I know about this and so on. So all the best. Please, you are pioneers. pioneers need to know that they are exploring ways. They are not knowing the answer to all questions as of yet, but they are patient and confident to go ahead. And as they walk the path of their pioneer work, they will see things and get the answers they require. So I wish you all the best, and Hare Krishna.